It has a kind of a national flair to it with Israel, and then it also has a personal flair to it with an individual, perhaps David, perhaps not, that had some struggles in his life and conquered those things, and God blessed him in a wonderful way. So you have all of these things at play. It is basically a prophetic psalm. It'll talk about the day of Christ, and I understand that full well. And I will address that in just a little bit. Let me ask you to follow with me, beginning with verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Do you believe that tonight? Would you say amen?
Amen.
He is good. He's good to all of us. Look with me at verse 6. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. That's a good verse to claim right now. Obviously, there are other things that could go on here with teaching and pulling out into the exegesis of the passage. I'm focused on a practical application for us today. Key word, today. You'll understand why I use that as a key word. Notice with me also in verse 8. Verse 8, by the way, is the middle verse of the Bible. Psalm 118:8, the middle verse of the Bible. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. I think that's a wonderful middle verse, don't you? I mean, that has some great teeth in it, great substance in it. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Verse 9 says it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Well, I tell you what, we're in one of those election years, aren't we? Boy, is the hype. It is just up there at a feverish temperature already. I'm looking forward to getting over with already. I'm tired of all of the politicians and the political things and the absorption. I wonder what else is going on in the world that we're not hearing about now. It just could be a little bit scary. But you know what? It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes, these political leaders and all of that. We're trusting God. And we do what we can and what we should do, of course, in the area of voting and researching. But it is the trust in the Lord that makes the difference. Notice in verse 14, the Lord is my strength and song and has become my salvation. Notice in verse 17, I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. Notice verse 21, I will praise thee for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. 22, the stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. Of course, referring to Jesus Christ. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. And then I want you to notice with me our text verse for tonight, verse 24. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Let's bow together for prayer. Father in heaven, take control of all that I say and how it is received tonight in the hearts of everyone here tonight. I ask for your power, the Holy Spirit's power, to be upon this message and help everyone here to get a grasp on today, living today in the light of eternity. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Some people are better than others at remembering special days. I don't do too bad at it, but there have been a few times over the years where I've forgotten some special days. I just didn't get prepared, and it was a problem. But my wife has been very gracious in that. She remembers special days. You guys, you young guys, you need to understand that the ladies will typically remember a lot of things that you will forget. You know, those first things. Well, they just kind of all merge together after a while for me. It's just not a thing that I major on. And some people, that's the way they are. And you have to give grace to the rest of us that don't major on those things in our mind. The one special day that all of us need to remember is today. Today. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I want you to notice that though this has a prophetical application, as I mentioned earlier, It is a passage that looks forward to that glorious day when Christ returns to the earth as Savior, Redeemer. It also has a practical application for each day of the week. That's what I want us to look at tonight. Five biblical reasons why we need to look at our life every day with eternity in view. First of all, I want you to notice with me that today is a provided day. It's a provided day. This is the day which the Lord hath made. Isn't God good to give us the opportunity to live today? Has God been good to you in that He has given you the gift of another day to live? It is a good thing. Do you realize you're able to be in the house of God here tonight with God's people? What a wonderful place to be. How many people would love to be here, but they cannot? They're physically limited. They have other struggles that they're going through, and they're not able to be in the house of God like maybe they used to be for years and years. Do you know we ought not take for granted that this is a day that the Lord hath made? We ought to thank God for it. Today, live today. We've got a whole lot of people living in yesterday and trying to live tomorrow. And it never works, but we keep trying it. Sometime or another, we ought to, you know, just kind of bop ourselves in the head and say, well, you wake up and understand that today is the day you need to live. There are 24 hours in a day, 1,440 minutes in every day, 86,400 seconds in every day. Every day is a gift from God. What we do with today will make up our life and determine so many things throughout our eternity as far as rewards are concerned and the blessings of God here and hereafter. It's a provided day. God's given it to us. Secondly, I want you to notice with me in Psalm 118:24 that today is a present day. This is the day which the Lord hath made. Present day. He's made it today for us. It's a present day. The psalmist is not looking back to the past, nor is the psalmist looking ahead to the future. Be careful and don't let yesterday steal today from you. I deal with so many people that's really what they're doing, and they don't even know it. They don't even realize what they're doing. They're living in yesterday, and they're not paying attention to today. You know, things have changed from yesterday. Our world today is different than it was 20 years ago or 15 years ago. People are changing. People are angrier. People are hardened in so many ways. Many people have just given up. Today is a present day. You know, there are a number of reasons why people will look and live in the past. Sometimes it's because of past guilt. They can't get beyond it. They failed sometime in the past. And they have not, or they have either not confessed it and gotten forgiveness, or they have not allowed themselves to forgive themselves. Well, God forgives me, but I can't forgive me. Or others maybe hold it over them. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He will do that with the guilt of your past. Can we redo the past? No, we cannot. We can't change it. So why would we ruin today God's gift by trying to relive or bear guilt from yesterday? How foolish is that? Another reason why people will try to live in the past is because of past glory. This is at the other end of the spectrum. The guilt from failures, now past glory from the accomplishments. Oh, wow, we've done some things. I've been involved in some wonderful things in the past. Can I tell you, thank God for both of those things. Thank God for past accomplishments. It brought glory to Him. and thank God for past failures that are under the blood. And don't let either one of those things control you today. We live in a world where people don't understand this concept and they need help with it. Because a lot of people have lived a life of sin. And when you talk about sin, they say, man, I've done almost everything. And God's forgiven me? Yes. That's why it's a new birth, a new life. That's why you become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Don't live in the past. Don't let past guilt or past successes, past glory, affect you. Philippians 3, 13 and 14, the Apostle Paul had the ability to glory in his past, but this is what he says. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know what these verses are describing? They're describing a man that figured out, I'm not living in the past. I'm not going to try to live in the future ahead of time. I'm going to deal with what I can do today for the glory of God. And we look at the Apostle Paul and say, wow, he did a good job. He had something right. And you know what? We can improve if we too will stop living in the past, whether it be the failures or the accomplishments that take up our time and our efforts and our energies. There's two other things that I want to mention here quickly about living in the past. One of those has to do with past grudges. It's kind of like hitting a pothole in the road and it knocks your car out of alignment. A lot of times we get into these relationship issues and it just kind of, boom, it just hits us, knocks us out of alignment for a while. And then we realize, man, I tell you what, there's some wear and tear on me and I need to get in alignment again here. Lord, help me not be bitter. Lord, help me not to hold that and keep that in my mind to keep rehearsing all of those things. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32, let all bitterness and wrath and anger, clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Get rid of the past grudges. When somebody brings up the idea of grudges or bitterness, does some name or some event, some circumstance pop up in the front of your mind? That is probably God the Holy Spirit saying, you need to turn loose of that. You wake up in the middle of the night and you're thinking about that individual or that institution and you're saying, what's going on with them? You need to turn loose of that. That's the Holy Spirit trying to purge and cleanse you so that you can enjoy today, not deal with the grudges. And then the fourth one is past grief. This one is very personal. Past grief. This is loss. Grief is loss in some way or another. No doubt in a congregation this size, we have people in every one of these categories that I've listed. First of all, you lose the health. Grieving over loss of health. I can't do what I used to do. I now have physical limitations on me. And we grieve over that, and that grief will ruin today. We won't do what we can do, grieving because we can't do what we used to do. And we live a defeated life. If you are in that situation, acknowledge that tonight and say, oh God, I've been ruining every day because I'm living in past guilt. I'm living in past glory. I'm living with a grudge in my heart, or I'm living bearing grief. And I need to ask your forgiveness and cleansing. Matthew 11:28 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. See, we make it hard on ourselves when we try to live in the past because it just doesn't work. Sometimes that past grief has to do with health. Sometimes it has to do with finances. Well, I used to have anything I wanted, but now it's tight. I used to be able to do this and do that, but I can't do that anymore. And we put these restraints on us, and every day we think, man, I can't anymore. What we have to do is balance that thing out and say, you know what? thank God for what I can do. All of these verses that I've read preceding this in Psalm 118. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, because His mercy endureth forever. Listen, you may have lost your health. You may have lost your wealth. You may have lost a loved one. Boy, some people, they just get tripped up. I was visiting in a home several years ago, and this was a man who had lost his wife, and the bedroom became a shrine. It was everything her. He would never go in there. He would never let anybody do anything else, because he was pretending as if she was in there and still living. How do you think his days were going? He was locked in to grief. He never could enjoy today. And maybe there's somebody here, you lost somebody near and dear to you. And for some reason, you're punishing yourself and you're not involved in the will of God like you could and should be, because you won't turn loose and let God take care of that loved one. Just because you aren't grieving and you are involved in the will of God does not mean that you don't love them anymore. You can still love them, and you can have a good day and a God-blessed day, even though they're not here anymore. Need to deal with that grief. See, trying to live yesterday. This is the day which the Lord hath made. So let's make ourselves miserable and not enjoy it. Boy, that sounds like a really fun life. Boy, let's join that club. We just go and stare at one another. No, no. You know what? If we don't get this concept in our mind, we're going to make everybody miserable around us. And maybe somebody's doing that. And you need to say, dear God, forgive me. And you need to maybe ask some of the folks around you, near to you, forgive me. I've been so focused, I've been so consumed, that I haven't even taken time to enjoy today. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Yesterday will steal today from you, but also in the same sort of a way, tomorrow is also a thief of today. Matthew 6:34 says, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now listen closely. Listen to this. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. Today is a gift. That's why we call it the present. You can live in the past if you want to, but you'll never be able to. You can try to live in the future if you want. Or you can do what the will of God is for every one of us, and that is to understand that today is God's gift, the present. I will love the Lord, I will serve the Lord, and I will do what I do with joy and love and praise in everything I do. That leads me to the next thought. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. It's a provided day, it's a present day, and number three, today is a precious day. Don't take it for granted. Because the Lord made this day. And God, don't presume that because God made yesterday and God made today, that you have a tomorrow. Right? Isn't that scriptural? Sure it is. Ephesians 5, 15 and 16 says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Psalm 90:12. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Now, how can we spend time wisely? Well, I would suggest that you spend enough time daily with God to get a clear sense of direction for your day and for your life. Now, sometimes that's going to happen in a pretty short period of time, and other times it's going to be broadened if you've got the relationship with the Lord. It's just like, you know what? Sometimes my wife and I, we don't even need to talk with each other. We're just sitting there and we're across the table eating supper or something like that. And we eat out all of the time, probably 99% of the time we eat out. And we'll sit across the table from one another and we won't be saying a whole lot of anything. Because every time I open my mouth, she can finish my sentences. And every time she opens her mouth, I can probably finish the thought. But then there are other times when we get together and it's like both of us are talking at the same time. It's kind of like Sunday morning after church services. It is so comical to me. And I guess every pastor has it. I will stand at the back of the auditorium and I'll try to shake hands with people as they go out. Of course, it takes a while as people are going out and all of that. And every so often, somebody wants to make that the conversation time. It's not a conversation time, folks. You've got lots and lots of people behind you. But I will have people that I will shake their hand here. They'll come around here and they're talking to me. And they talk to me here and I'm shaking hands with somebody else. And then I have somebody else that'll come up here. Sometimes it's a husband and wife. And sometimes I will have two or three people carrying on a conversation with me at the same time. And I'm trying to answer them and stay engaged and be gracious. And inside I am cracking up. Somebody give in. Somebody yield. I can't hear three voices at the same time. And then it all kind of gels together and I think, what did they say? What were they talking about? Who was that was talking to me when the other two people were talking to me? You know, all of this. Today's a precious day. Psalm 119:105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." We need to spend the time in the Word of God. Psalm 119:133, "Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me." Today is a precious day. Take the time to learn about God. Set some Christ-honoring and God-honoring priorities. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Preached on that last Sunday. And I said, what is the kingdom of God anyhow? The phrase kingdom of God some 68 plus times in the New Testament. And Jesus Christ in the Sermon on the Mount said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. And I said, okay, nobody's going to be called upon. Nobody has to lift their hand and answer it. But I want you to answer the question to yourself. What is the kingdom of God? How long have you been saved? Jesus said to seek it first and you don't even know what it is. You don't even know what involves that whole thing. We've got to get our brain turned on instead of just kind of moving. We've got to think it through. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Don't have time to preach that message tonight. I'll move on. We need to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit as we enjoy this precious day. Allow the filling of the Holy Spirit, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Ephesians 4:30 tells us. Ephesians 5:18, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Galatians 5:16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Galatians 5:25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. We have to recognize that procrastination is sin. If we know to do right and we don't do it, then it is sin, according to James 4:17. Today is a precious day. Do what you can in the power of the Holy Spirit. Today is precious. You wake up tomorrow, you start thinking about this thing. Today is a gift from God. Today is the day that God's provided for me. Today is the present. I can't live the past or the future. Today is precious. I'm going to go through all of the things I do with that mindset. It's a precious day. It might be your last day. If you knew it was your last day, would you not cherish it? I believe that's how God wants us to live. And that takes me to my next thought. Today is a passing day. Time. You can lose it. Or you can use it. Some have maybe been trying to live in the past or in the future, and you haven't been focused on the today of living your life with eternal life and heaven in view. Today is a passing day. Consider these things. Number one, time can't be stopped. You'll not stop it. It's going to keep going. Time cannot be stored. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Psalm 27:1 or Proverbs 27:1. Time cannot be stretched. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Hebrews 9:27. You can't stretch it. Boy, I've been in all of those situations where people, where they said, man, wealthy people who said, I'd give all I have just to live a little longer, to have another day. No, that's not how it works. Use it or lose it. And one day, it won't be available for us any longer. Because time can't be stopped, it can't be stored, it can't be stretched, and time cannot be shared. I may have some time, but I can't give it to you. You might have some time, but you can't give it to a loved one for them to be with you a little while longer. Oh, if I'd only had a chance to say goodbye, people will so often focus on and grieve over. Well, the most important thing is, one of these days when you go to glory, will you be able to say hello? Were they saved? And are you saved? That's the most important thought. Time cannot be shared. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 and 2. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under heaven. Time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. Yes, we must understand that today is a passing day. You're not going to be able to relive it. It's almost gone now, isn't it? But you've got a new one, Lord willing, coming around tomorrow. What are you going to do with it? Lastly, I want you to notice with me that today is a providential day. The latter part of that verse, we will rejoice and be glad in it. That's how we are to live every day. Rejoicing and glad in it. What is it? It is today. It is that gift that God gives to us, the present. That God says, live for me today. You can't change the past. You can only prepare for the future, but you must live today. So get started. Did you do anything today that you regret already? Get it cleaned up. Get it cleared. Get it under the blood. And tomorrow, understand, just as old Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, the pages of tomorrow are yet unstained. It's a new day. And if God so wonderfully gives us a new day tomorrow, then let's live it praising Him and being glad in it, giving Him thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. God wants us to be thankful every day. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. No matter what happens, we know God is in control, do we not? So because God is in control, let's take those verses that we say we love and let's put them together and let's enjoy them every day. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart today. And lean not unto thine own understanding today. And in all thy ways acknowledge Him today. And He shall direct thy paths today and beyond. Romans 8:28, and we know today that all things work together for good. What kind of things? All the things that happen to us today. They're working together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. When? Today. He wants to perform it today. Take the right mentality for today. Get that frown off of your face. Get a spring in your step. Get some excitement in your voice and your, some enthusiasm. And say, praise God, I got to live another day. For we are His workmanship. Today. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Today. Which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them today. Ephesians 2:10. So accept today and every day as a gift from God, His hand to you. Stop fretting about yesterday. Stop worrying about tomorrow. Rejoice in the Lord always, we read in Philippians 4:7. And again I say, rejoice. Give God your heart today, and He will give you eternity today. Maybe there's somebody here that's never trusted Christ as Savior, and you need to do that. If you do that, you give Him your heart, He will give you a very special gift right back, and that is eternal life. It's an excellent exchange. I'm sure thankful I did it, and you ought to do it too. When we make every day a God-given day, let me restate that. When we make every day every God-given day a God-governed day, then it will be a God-gladdened day. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Take a moment with me and look in your chorus book at number 8. I didn't know you had this available. I found out just before the service. But I want you to notice some words here as a closing illustration. To number 8. I think that is the song, Singing I Go. Do you see that? It's one of those old songs that you won't find in a lot of places, and I'm certainly thrilled to see it in the chorus book. Notice those verses there. The trusting heart to Jesus clings, nor any ill forebodes, but at the cross of Calvary sings, praise God for lifted loads. Singing I go a long life's way, long life's road. Praising the Lord, praising the Lord. Singing I go a long life's road, for Jesus has lifted my load. Do you have a load that you came to church with tonight? Do you have some things today that we say, well, I had a terrible, bad, awful day? Can you now process those things and package them and say, God is at work in my life. And I'm not going to let those difficult things get victory over my joy in the Lord. I'm going to still sing the song of victory. That second verse, the passing days bring many cares. Fear not, I hear Him say. And when my fears are turned to prayers, the burdens slip away. Verse 3, He tells me of my Father's love and never slumbering eye. My everlasting King above will all my needs supply every day. When to the throne of grace I flee, I find the promise true. The mighty arms upholding me will bear my burdens too today. Therefore, singing I go a long life's road, praising the Lord, praising the Lord. You know how we ought to live our lives? One day at a time, and treat that day the way God intends for it to be. Because it's a day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Let me ask you to stand with heads bowed and eyes closed. I've hit on a lot of different points here and a lot of different thoughts, but it's been very personalized, and maybe there's somebody that's been struggling with some things today or recently in recent days, and you'd say, boy, I think I see what God's been trying to do in my life. I've been trying to live in the past. I've been trying to live in the future, but I need to enjoy today and rejoice today and live for God today and stop letting those things defeat me. If that's the case, then you need to find a place. I encourage you to find a place here at the altar. Now, I want to have a word of prayer, and then we'll have the ladies play the instruments, and we'll let God do His work in whatever way He wants to do. But let me just ask you a couple of questions. Number one, are you saved? If you're not saved, if you'll slip out to the nearest aisle and come to one of these men at the front, they will help you get connected with somebody who will show you how to trust Christ as your Savior. And when you wake up tomorrow, you'll have a new day, a new life. You'll be born again, and you can have a fresh new start. That's a wonderful opportunity that's afforded you. And it's no accident that God has you in this service. Please understand that and respond. The second thing that I want to mention to you is that if you are saved and you've lost direction, you kind of lost your way and you're kind of under the circumstances instead of being able to handle and tackle, and you know, some things have gotten you down, and maybe others notice, but you know, the Lord's kind of showing you something's not right. I encourage you to get it right. Find a place here at the altar and ask God to help you. You know what? Confessing and forsaking will give you a freedom from the past. Maybe you need to forgive yourself. God's already forgiven you of some things. And you need to ask God to help you forgive yourself and to move on and be able to serve Him and love Him every day from here on out. Maybe there's somebody here, you're in the midst of grief, whether it be your health or finances or the loss of somebody that you love. And you know, if they're in heaven, what they'd probably say to you, will you stop that? And you get busy serving the Lord, because this is a wonderful place. And listen to what you know is the truth. Live today. Make it what God wants it to be. Appreciate God's gift that we call present. Father in heaven, do your work in our midst and be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen.